Can't remember how to shine, lost your confidence, your fight? We've got you. For faith, fitness, and friendship collide. For women, by women, this is the She Rugged Podcast. I'm your host, mom, pup mom, athlete, and life performance coach, Michelle Yates. You aren't called to be successful. You are called to be faithful. It's not that God finally showed up. You did. How many times have you been involved with something where magic has happened? Things have changed. It's glorious. It's awesome. It's raining cupcakes. I don't know. But then you realize that it's been there the whole time. It was just you that had to show up. So as we wrap up fear, we are now headed into our session of faith for this quarter. And what does faith mean? Faith is the confidence and the trust that God is who he says he is and will do what he said he will do. The closest exact definition of faith in the Bible gives us Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So just from this particular passage, we see that the central feature of faith is confidence or trust. Confidence or trust in something. And without any risk, we cannot build trust, right? Or we cannot have the confidence that we need. We have to step out of our comfort zones. Faith in a relationship context is being willing to step into a place of uncertainty. So if you're having a relationship with somebody, you kind of like, in order to grow that, you have to be in a little bit of a place of uncertainty, because it's in that space that a relationship has that opportunity to grow. We just experienced this at the Rugged Retreat. Some of us were new to each other, and we were in this kind of uncertain place. And how the retreat went was it actually was a 10K first, because it was a Friday night 10K. We all just got in. We all just met each other for like 30 minutes to an hour. That was it. And then we're all out there on the course together getting to know each other. It was one of those most empowering experiences that I feel so grateful and blessed for to be able to have. But if those ladies didn't take that risk or that chance in attending that retreat, then they never would have grown in their relationship with me, right? Or if I never took that risk of even hosting it, we never would have made these relationships that I can say from my standpoint and from the other ladies from their interviews and stuff, the relationship aspect was huge there. We now have friendships that are going to grow from here on out. And that is what I love about this so-called job that I have, or the so-called calling that I have, is bringing people together in order to go through life together, to have that same walk in faith. And even though some of us are in different places in our faith journeys, we can all come together and share our experiences and, again, the hardships, and be open and comfortable with sharing our thoughts and feelings and growing in our faith. I'll repeat that again. Faith in a relationship context is being willing to step into a place of uncertainty, because it's in that space that a relationship has the opportunity to grow. Growth. Now, I want you to think about your relationship with God or Jesus. What does that look like on a scale from 0 to 10? Are you at maybe like a 1? And is it because you aren't entertaining that idea that there is a God? Or maybe you're at a 1 because you have encountered some challenges and hardships, and you're questioning if there actually is a God as well? Or are you in the middle of the road? Maybe you kind of know a little bit. Maybe you're raised with it. Maybe you weren't. Or maybe you're at a 10. You're like, yes, there is a God. I'm totally all in. This is great. You know, it doesn't mean that life is all great. It doesn't mean that, you know, I'm getting glitter thrown upon me with $100 bills. But I am feeling that Holy Spirit. I am feeling the guidance. I am able to get through those challenging times, the times of overwhelm, and I have faith. We can trust the Bible, Jesus, and God because he gave his one and only son, right? Can you do that? I don't know if I could do that. I would have to think about that and be obedient with that. And of course, in order to grow in my faith, be willing to do that. But Jesus did that for us. God gave his one and only son for us. So we have to keep that in the back of our minds when we're wondering about faith. Some questions to also consider are, how do you feel you are following a life with God? Kind of use that scale 1 through 10 or throw some things out there. How do you feel you are following a life with God? What are the good things you might be doing? What are the things that God was telling us to do? Or maybe some of the things that you aren't doing. Do you feel growth in your spiritual area in life? Why or why not? Are you, actually putting in some effort over there or not? Because to me, it's kind of a lot like fitness, right? And our relationships, whether it be with God or your best friend or your spouse, they take time and energy. Even your kiddos, it is so easy to throw a screen in their face because you're too busy, you're doing all these things, or you just don't want to deal with them, put them on the wayside kind of thing, because it takes energy and effort, right? Maybe it even takes some financial cost, but it takes energy and effort and time management and energy management in order to invest in our relationships. That includes God, that includes those around us. It takes time and energy to invest in those. And do you have signs you have seen in some of your major decisions you have recently made? Do you have any of those signs? Like, do you feel encouraged by a certain act of faith that you did? Maybe those ladies that came to the retreat, maybe they're feeling like, a little amped up now. Something good came out of this and, it's great and feeling great. Or how about, did you buy, your secretary coffee and she's doing an awesome job for you and you're going out on a girls' night now with her and this is great and it's, building these relationships and walking through life. And I can honestly say that I've almost been fired from some of my management positions in personal training and management of some of these types of businesses because my relationships had grown so greatly and well that a lot of the owners and bosses, they don't like that. They want you to strictly keep it business. And now I agree, there should be boundaries with some things in that way. But at the same time, I also feel like a friendship that is so deep, when I am friends with some of those clients from 20 years ago in this particular situation that I'm thinking of, and that person, honestly, that owner is out of business, and I don't know what they're doing now, but I know that I have these solid relationships that I had made with clients all those years ago, and I'm walking through life, a life of faith with them. And I had the opportunity to set those boundaries and say, whatever. But where is the growth and faith with that? And does God want that? Does he want us to keep those boundaries so strict that, whatever we're doing, you're a waitress, are you just supposed to set the stuff down on the table and walk away and smile and just have empty conversation, or maybe have a conversation with that person that's looking like they're hurting really bad? And how much of an impact would that make for that person for you to just acknowledge that you see them? And not only do you see them, you may see them hurting, or maybe you see them happy. But just that acknowledgement of each other instead of stepping up on each other when we're trying to get to the top of the ladder, let's lift each other up, not step on each other. So those questions again, how do you feel you are following a life with God? And do you feel growth in your spiritual area of life? Why or why not? That's huge. Write down the whys, write down the why nots. Do you have signs you have seen in some of your major decisions you've recently made that may be empowering, encouraging in a certain act of faith that you did. Now, growth and faith, they both are equal in risk. But how do we know if the risk is worth it, right? You know, I'm telling you all this stuff. I'm saying, hey, step out there on the line. But that retreat that I just hosted, that could have been a disaster. Could have been just people of different walks of life, different, you know, faith journeys, different this, you know, different that. They could have been not open-minded. They could have not accepted that risk. And they also could have not have grown. But I'm pretty sure they have grown leaps and bounds because they took that risk and that was worth it for them, right? Maybe the financial, the energy, the time management. But how do we know it's going to be worth it? How do we feel that? And isn't it hard to take those risks of faith because the word itself implies that things won't necessarily turn out? And no matter how bad things get, maybe we won't necessarily hear from God during those times. Sometimes I feel like we can actually understand when it's the post-event, right? When it's the post-challenge, we can see, oh yes, because I had to go through that challenge in order to change the way I was doing things or to change directions in life. And I know I'm stubborn enough that God had to put that smack down in order for me to listen. What happens when we do trust? We use that little mustard seed of faith, that little step in faith, like those ladies that took that baby step to come out there. And does it go away? Or, you know, do you hit the lottery? Or, you know, what happens? What happens when we trust? The Bible tells us, it makes it absolutely clear that your internal status changes when you believe in Jesus. So although you may not quite be getting million-dollar bills or, you know, winning the lottery or having your faucet pour Skittles, you are having an eternal status change. Well, what the heck does that mean? Why do we care about an eternal status? So spiritually, it means a beginning but no end. This is your beginning, your relationship with God, with your faith, with Christ, and there are so many awesome things to be had with that. One of them is giving him the things that are out of your control and having peace with that. Because if you totally have that faith that God will do what he says he's going to do, especially because he gave his one and only son, then you will really feel that heavy weight come off of your shoulders. And when you give it to God, when you give those things that are out of your control to God and you let him help you with them. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from the death into life. The change that happens with that eternalness is when you believe, you encounter a status change. The change is not having everlasting life to actually having it, to having God by your side that whole time. Now, doesn't it just seem nice to have like a bestie that's by your side, even if you can't see him, even if you're not sure, you know? But if you have that little mustard seed of faith, isn't it nice to feel like you have that somebody that you can talk to or give those things that are out of your control to? You become eternally alive. You start to thrive. You don't just survive. You don't just scrape by. That Holy Spirit gives you that empowerment to say, hey, you know, let's shed that devil off your shoulder and, you know, let's go this direction. And there's so many great benefits to it. And it sounds so magical, doesn't it? Right? Like it sounds super great, fantastic. Sounds like some kind of unicorn land. But maybe you're saying to yourself, okay, well, I'm in. I got this. I kind of want to try. But how do I God grow? How do I God grow and glow. How does that look? What does that look like? What do I have to do? Do I have to, you know, give $100 in the plate at church? Do I have to go to church? What are these things? So first of all, you don't have to clean yourself up to go to God, right? So if you're struggling with addiction or abuse or this or that, you don't have to clean yourself up and make yourself all nice looking to go to God. You actually don't even have to go to church. Yeah, you heard me right. Some churches and most churches may be corrupt. They may be. The one thing God wants you to do is to dive into that Bible to find out who He really is, because that's the best representation of Him, right? And the best thing you can do is to get yourself one of those great study Bibles, and they literally are called study Bibles. They make things a little bit more clear and possible and easier to understand for what's going on in our world today, because it does apply to our world today. But also, you can grow in faith when, number one, when you're faced with decisions, ask yourself, is God going to take care of me, or is this thing? We hold so tightly to our finances, right? That's our security blanket. Now, in the world we live in, that is kind of a thing, right? I mean, I am guilty of it as well. You know, we need money to survive in this world, so we think, but we also need our prayers. We also need our God, right? And He is the one that controls those things for us. Even though we think we're in control of our finances, we are not. God is. So ask yourself, are you putting your faith all into this job, this career, this position, this money making? How much money do I need to make in order to stack up this nice savings and be secure for the rest of my life? Yet we all know of that person who's had it ripped away, has gone bankrupt. Just look at the street corner. It's probably that guy standing right there with that sign. It's hard to say, but most likely I have heard of those stories where, you know, people have gone from riches to rags. But the one thing you have to keep is your faith and your guidance in those finances or those other security blankets that you may be holding on to with God. And when you are faced with the challenges that seem impossible, like you lost everything, then you should read about Moses in the Bible. Even if you don't know the Bible, go ahead and go read Moses. God chose him to negotiate with the Pharaoh to release the Israelites from slavery. He'll do it again. God will continue to make the impossible possible, even if you try to run away or say no. Because I don't want to do a spoiler alert here, but those of you that don't know about Moses can go read Moses. And I will say that he could be arguing with God a little bit. He could be saying, no, that's not the way to go. Or no, that's not right. Or I'd have to sacrifice this. Or I'd have to give up this. Or what if they laugh in my face? I can't go do that. You never know. So go read Moses. And number three is when you are feeling overwhelmed or have hit rock bottom in that complete overwhelm, if you're feeling helpless, reread the story of Esther. She was trapped in a situation that was completely out of her control, and God used her exact position to save so many people and to accomplish His will, what He wanted. Not even necessarily what she wanted, but what He wanted. So read Moses, read Esther, and try to rediscover, re-empower yourself, and grow in your faith. And understand that even though these stories were written millions and billions of years ago, they do apply to us today, and they can empower us today in our exact situations. And a naysayer may look at these stories. They may say, how do these relate to me? What is going on? No, that can't be right. You know, she didn't even have sandals on. I don't know. Her feet are dirty. She was in rags. But it's not brainwash. It's God's will, right? If you're feeling something pull on your heartstrings right now, you know, why not read some of those stories that may guide you better in life? Now, whether you believe or not, why wouldn't you want to read some self-help or good tips that would maybe get you through your challenges? So believe or not, go to Moses and go to Esther. Trust that God has a better outcome for our lives than we can ever imagine. And that trust that we put in that gives us that hope. And because God knows all and He sees all, we can trust that even if our stories don't turn out the way we originally thought, He works for all the good. For God's glory, all the good. You've heard me say it again. I've had hip surgeries. I've had this. I've had that. I have come back with running to empower others and to show that God can do some pretty miraculous things. Now, there's even bigger levels. You can read about them. You can hear about them. I will tell you about my heart surgery that I had. I had to have a heart surgery when I was just shy of 21. And it was an ablation for WPW. And I have a few other birth defects that we're aware of now and conditions that are quite scary. Now, WPW is when your blood gets circulated in your heart and it doesn't go back out for oxygen, this and that. Basically, a non-functioning heart. And therefore, you pass out. Not a cool thing. It's becoming more common, and the ablations work great. Granted, they are really expensive, so if you don't have good insurance, well, some people might be out of luck with some of that stuff, but that is where God can come into play, and I'm going to tell you how. I was shot like 13 times with anti-nausea and blood thinners and this and that because my blood was too thick for them to see. They're supposed to go into your veins, not your arteries, with these cool little tiny cameras to help ablate or heal up the holes in your heart to correct those pathways, this and that. My procedure was a little more complex because I had to sustain all of those things I just said, so it made my blood very thin and made me extremely sick. And when I did wake up, I actually threw up, and I jolted when I threw up. And the nurse comes in, and she's like, oh, you threw up on yourself, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, I hear code red, and somebody, like, you know, shoving their hand on my leg like it was in such crazy, crazy, crazy pain. And, you know, it just so happened that when I jolted, I dropped that nurse's button upside down on the floor. And that's why she came in. And little did I know that they had to go through the artery of my leg that was stitched up in order to do the procedure. Now, you have 30 seconds until you bleed out if you blow an artery. And that's exactly about what I had. And it just so happened that I dropped that nurse's button upside down on the floor when I jolted, when I puked on myself. If that's not a God-given story for you, I don't know what is, but I will forever remember that. And that nurse and that upside-down button, and God saved my life that day. Now, to me, that was for the greater good. I wouldn't have accomplished or helped or inspired so many people along those ways. I had a bruise that was on my leg for 2 years. It was like my entire groin area was massive. And I just picked myself up. And a couple weeks later, I was out at regionals. I was getting some pity claps as I finished last in the steeplechase. But I was out there and I still did it. And I wasn't going to, you know, bow out of that. I was going to continue to fight. And I did. And then the next year I went on and I was one of the first qualifiers for that regional steeplechase in competitive times. And, you know, apparently some of those people at the track maybe needed some inspiring. So that's why I feel like God did that. But the greater good, for our good, and with anything and everything, we have two choices in life. And I say this all the time. There's a good choice and there's a great choice, or a good choice and an even better choice. And we can live in the good, but sometimes we have to lay down that good security blanket, that good thing that we feel is so good, to have room to grow and pick up an even greater thing, to thrive, to grow, to glow. In order to step out of our comfort zones, we do sometimes have to lay something down that it seems good. It is good. It's great. I mean, it's comfy, right? But in order to really find that growth, to take us to that new level. And that risk, after all, that effort, the actions are all pretty minimal when you strip it down, right? You know, when you think of why did I have so much anxiety over that? Why, you know, did I panic so much? And why didn't I just try it in the first place? So why not at this time set a goal for 2 weeks to pray for 5 minutes daily, even if you aren't completely sure there is a God? And why not treat others with kindness as God wants and says we should do? Why not? And why is that a bad thing if we want to treat others with goodness? Take this God Growth and Glow Challenge. That's what I'm calling it. God Growth and Glow Challenge. So number one, for 2 weeks, take 5 minutes to pray. And just for some guidance, I can say, A, what are you thankful for? Use your specific gifts and talents, your kids, your home, those certain things. B, help with what you screwed up on. So the next prayer is, God, help me, you know, save my parenting because it's not exactly what I think you would want. So can you guide me in that? Can you help me with that? And C, guidance in the direction you should go in life and career and in volunteer. And we are going to touch on this more, but what should I say yes to in order to take the risk? And because every time I say yes to something, I'm saying no to something else. And I have to be very mindful of that. We all do in this very precious life that we have. What are we saying yes to that is saying no to something else? And it is the way that God wants us to go. So that God Growth and Glow Challenge is for 2 weeks. Just take 5 minutes to pray, whether you're a believer or not. Just take 5 minutes to pray or think about this, meditate on it. But what you're thankful for, help with something you may have screwed up on, and guidance in the direction you should go. And kind of just see if that Holy Spirit is pulling on those heartstrings or not. Because again, there's a lot of changes that happen when you gain that point of faith, when you grow in your faith. There is regeneration. There's human spirit, the indomitable human spirit. There's forgiveness. There's removal of the dang devil, because a new level always creates a new devil. There's always new challenges with every new level. We have to stay on top of that, right? But that is where God comes into play, and we can give those things to him that are out of our control to him and handle and have that guidance that we need for the things that are in our control. Brain clutter can add up fast. Find your fight with our She Rugged Empowerment program. Sign up for our newsletter and get free tips for eating healthy when traveling. Go to our website, SheRugged.com, and share the love. Subscribe, share, and leave a review for our monthly giveaways. Thanks for listening. Let your light shine.